This is USA Radio News.
Santa and Mrs. Claus have partnered with Sleep Number this holiday season, giving visitors a sneak peek into how they get it all done each day and still rest well at night. We went straight to the North Pole for the scoop.
Sad to hear. Getting sleep is one way I can make my list and check them twice. And now Mrs. Claus and I are getting the quality sleep we need to power us through the busy season.
The long hours in the workshop are taking their toll on Santa, and he's not alone. According to Sleep Number survey, 38% say they lay awake at night stressing about their list of holiday to-dos.
Mrs. Claus and I have gotten smart about our sleep using Sleep Number's technology, and it's definitely making our days more jolly.
Each day, visitors to their online sleep journal get a glimpse inside their life at the North Pole, their sleeping habits, sleep number settings, and even lifestyle tips for getting better sleep at night.
Make sure you're getting quality shut-eye. I'm always watching.
Check it all out at sleepnumber.com/SantaWatch.
The owner of the NFL's Carolina Panthers, Jerry Richardson, is going to sell the team as he's surrounded by controversy, as we hear from correspondent Stephanie Gosk.
The move following a Sports Illustrated report that he and the Panthers have made multiple confidential payouts for workplace misconduct, including sexual harassment and use of a racial slur.
The 81-year-old Richardson saying he'll go through with the sale process after the season's over. Richardson bought the Panthers in 1993. Firefighters in Southern California continuing to battle that huge Thomas fire, now 45% contained, having burned nearly 270,000 acres of land since it started 2 weeks ago in Ventura County. Forecasters say winds will calm down later today, but firefighters can't expect much of a break as the gusts are predicted to pick back up again by Wednesday. Arizona Senator John McCain's doctor says McCain will not be making it back to D.C. to vote on the tax plan this week. This is USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
The oldest son of former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin is now facing domestic violence charges. One of the Today Show hosts, Savannah Guthrie, saying it's not his first run-in with the law.
The oldest son of former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin was arrested over the weekend on domestic violence charges. Track Palin was arraigned on Sunday on three counts: felony burglary, assault in the fourth degree, and criminal mischief. The alleged incident occurred in Wasilla, Alaska, on Saturday, but further details were not immediately available. Palin also was arrested in January 2016 on domestic violence charges. He took a plea deal that resulted in some of those charges being dismissed. Mm-hmm.
U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer wants the federal government to use screening devices that can detect bombs like the one used recently in a New York City subway station. The Democrat from New York says the Transportation Security Administration has been testing such devices, and he says the technology could save lives if they're put on a transportation hub in the New York City metro area. The TSA has been testing the devices in a partnership with the L.A. Metropolitan Transportation Authority. And Bitcoin futures are lower a little after opening trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on Sunday, that cryptocurrency opening above $20,000 before settling a bit below $19,000. And remember, we're online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, You're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here today at 100andchamberradio.com. 41 degrees outside our studios. Today partly sunny, high near 47. Down right around 32 tonight. Tuesday partly sunny, high in the 50s. Back down in the 30s again on Tuesday night. Wednesday, high near 41. A little cool down Wednesday night, not like we had before, but lows maybe down in the 20s. Sunny on Thursday, high in the upper 30s. Cloudy on the overnight Thursday, down in the 20s again. Chance of rain on Friday. Must be warming up again, high near 50. And then Friday night, rain likely on Saturday, high in the upper 50s. And again on Sunday, with highs reaching in the 40s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. A little different intro today. Winding down on the year. It's our last live show of the year, believe it or not. The next two Mondays, of course, being holidays. Offices won't be open here, so we'll be on Rewind. And, of course, you can always access shows on the podcasts and the archives. So, big dinners coming up, or big, whether you're entertaining or just having a nice family dinner. In past shows, we've talked about the roasts, and maybe if you're doing appetizers. And now, what do we do for dessert? Of course, Christmas, to me, is cookie season. Always plenty of cookies, and I still have fond memories of when I worked in Italian restaurants. I don't know, I probably should explore some other cultures, but for me, I know we like our French pastries and things like that and our English puddings, but Italian cuisine to me has, I guess like other things, we just used to go overboard with desserts and pastries. And there's some that are traditional around the holiday time, most of them, you know, available all the time. You know, we think of cannolis, obviously, and the struffoli, we got, you know, many pies, cakes, panettone, of course, the version of the fruitcake. Good old fruitcake. You know, it's this dense, heavy thing that comes out every year, and apparently there's a lot of them made and sold. The old legend was that there's only one and everybody keeps passing it around, but I think traditionally in England it might have been wedding cake. I think that's where it came from, saving the part of the cake for a year, for the anniversary, because fruitcake would actually hold up. It was not that much flour in it and a lot of booze, nice and soaked with all the dried fruits and the nuts and everything like that. So it makes sense that without having a freezer that this cake would hold up. Apparently, even sealed up, they find some old ones around somewhere, and they're still good. Enough preservative in there with the alcohol, I guess. So, one year I did a fruitcake. I found it. I can't find it anywhere. It's an old recipe. I'm sure there's something similar. I think Martha Stewart has one, a white cake fruitcake, kind of more of a cake than fruit and nuts. You put all the similar filling ingredients there, the chopped candied fruit and the nuts and everything like that. This one was a fruitcake torta, and it was six layers, I believe I did. And it was kind of, if you think of like a spice cake, you want those flavors in there with the chopped nuts and fruit, but it would make six thin layers. And then, of course, even them off with the knife, and it was a coffee buttercream. Pretty interesting. So it wasn't heavy. I guess it was the idea of the recipe was that it was a fruitcake without being so heavy and toothsome, shall we say. So that reminded me, of course, making the six layers. When we're making cakes today, like to, you know, just a couple of old favorites. But if you're not really a baker, you can use, well, a couple I'll do today, we'll use pound cakes are always available. And there's a cake that holds up well. And even frozen cakes, I'll tell you honestly, we used to in hotels, we would bake off some sponge layers, just, you know, yellow cake or sponge cake, Genoise, whichever recipe you like. And we would freeze them. And cakes really don't freeze solid because of the air in them and all the sugar. But it's much easier to work with a frozen cake. And one of the pastry chefs I worked under, he said, a frozen cake and a good hot knife, and you can make some interesting combinations that maybe would be difficult with a freshly baked cake. For one thing, you don't have to worry about all the crumbs because you slice through with a hot knife, you keep it in hot water, and you can slice right through these cakes and make thin layers. And we would split and fill them and make, be able to make birthday cakes and things like that on demand because we always had some whipped cream around. We always had some filling, some fudge filling, and put a little fresh fruit on it. And we could make make these birthday cakes and occasion cakes to order. And you could do this at home. Whether if you like to bake, when what I like to do, if you don't like the round layers, what I've found, especially for restaurant service, you know, you have your pies and your cakes are cut into little wedges, and sometimes the point breaks off and trying to get them even. Buffet work, we used to make sheet cakes and freeze them and then cut these the sheet cakes into bars. And then those strips there, if you have just, say, a three-layer, you would cut three bars and put your filling in between the two and stack them up, put them back in the freezer to firm up, and then frost the whole thing. Advantage of that is, of course, everybody gets a good amount of frosting. But you could then decorate the cake and say you're putting maraschino cherries on top or a chocolate curl or whatever. You could actually put one on each portion, and you just slice it afterwards, and everybody gets nice, even slices. You could slice them thinly. You could slice them thicker if you want. You don't have to worry about how many wedges or what shape. If somebody's getting one, wants one smaller, you know, if you have your cake already cut, it's a little harder to do. And plus, when it defrosts, of course, everything kind of comes together. The freezing is the best way to keep pastries anyway. The refrigerator kind of alters them a little bit. It should be either room temperature or frozen. But this allowed us to work with buttercreams and things like that, that because the cakes were cold, as soon as you put the frosting on, it firms up. You don't have so much of the crumb showing through. And, of course, professionals always do a what they call a crumb coat on the cakes, where you take some of the icing and put a thin layer around and then chill it again. Some of the crumbs are showing through, but then you frost it again to decorate. So if you're doing, if you have the wherewithal to bake and you have some favorite cakes, a half-size sheet pan is the one to use, not a jelly roll pan. You want something a little bit thicker. It should be about 12 and a half by 17, and you want it to be an inch deep. Fits in your oven nicely. And you bake a sheet cake. Of course, it comes out, and there might be a little dome in the middle. It might mound up a little bit, and that's easily taken care of once you chill the cake down, freeze it if you can, and take your knife and simply saw off that top part there. So you have everything even. So what you do then with the sheet cake, this half sheet pan, is cut it into three bars, and you freeze the cake bars, the strips, if you will, and then you're able to work with them. Another neat thing we would do is you would take these bars of cake, of course they're frozen, so they're only an inch thick, but we would slice them through again to be half-inch thick layers. A very simple one, let's say you have a yellow cake, right, a sponge cake, and some chocolate ganache or fudge filling, chocolate icing. So we would take these layers, so you make six layers, stack them up, and chill them again back in the freezer. Now you take this bar of cake, line it up on the edge of the table, and with your hot knife, you go diagonally through. So you're cutting two triangles and then flip them together. So actually the layers are running perpendicular to the table. So it would be a big layer in the middle and then taper down to thin layers, smaller layers on the end. And you chilled it again and covered it. Nobody could figure out how you layered the cake that way, but pretty interesting technique. But we're going to do a couple of things where you could use prepared cakes if you want. Couple of, you know, favorite desserts, something good for the holiday meal, and take a little pressure off instead of a lot of last-minute baking. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the 100in County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@100in-chamber.org. The 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
right, we're back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table. So, a couple weeks ago, I think the Times had a nice Baked Alaska. That's always a nice show if you want to have a little showpiece or a showstopper, shall we say. And the author, of course, it was, you know, made sense with the type of cake and the filling and everything. And, you know, the textures were all even. But, again, this is something we used to make with our sponge cakes. It's basically cake, ice cream, and meringue. And we would do the regular meringue with the powdered sugar, not with the simple syrup, the superfine sugar, rather, two parts sugar to one part egg whites. Whip the whites with half the sugar until they're like snow, like fluffy, right? Nice and stiff peaked. And then you fold in the remaining sugar. And what happens is, of course, the sugar stabilizes the egg whites. Otherwise, if you've made souffles before, when you whip egg whites and let them sit for a while, they start to deflate, go back to their original form. So I have meringue. So it's cake. Round sponges are nice. Now, it was an old CIA recipe, grand success, Baked Alaska grand success. So what happened was you take the round cake and you kind of cut out, I guess to describe it, it's kind of like a flat cone. You go from the edge of the cake, kind of cut down into the cake a little bit, make a little depression, so you have this little dome shaped part of the cake that you remove, and then in the middle would be some macerated cherries, nice cherries in soaked in brandy or rum, whichever alcohol you like. And those drained cherries are put in the center. Then, of course, that dome was flipped over, gave you kind of a nice rounded shape. And then you could put your meringue, your ice cream on top of the cherries, put the dome on top. Best way for me, now in the oven, of course, a very, very hot oven will brown the meringue. But with a cake, sometimes if your oven doesn't recover quickly enough, you don't want to bake it too long. The meringue is going to insulate the ice cream, of course, but it eventually, too long in there, the ice cream is going to melt too much. So what we would have is the cake, the ice cream, if you're having fruit in there, and put the cake back in the freezer. And when we're ready to serve, instead of putting in the oven, we would use a propane torch. And, of course, I used to make Baked Alaskas for, you know, 50, 60, 100 people. You're talking full sheet cakes and probably, you know, 2 gallons of ice cream, make a big, thick, filled cake, and then cover it with meringue. So again, putting the first coat on there just to seal it up, and then you decorate with your star tip, make little swirls, things. Now, if we're going to flambe it, of course, I always made sure there was a border around the top of the cake, the edge of the cake. Why? Because when you're putting your alcohol on there to flambe it, remember the first one I did, I didn't do that carefully enough, and some of it ran down on the side and almost caught the tablecloth on fire. So, lesson learned at a young age. So you can make all your nice swirls. You can do it with a knife. You can do it with a pastry bag. But just make sure around, again, the edge, the top of the cake, that there's decoration there that will catch the alcohol. Now, when you're going to present it, of course, you can brown it off with the torch. The advantage of the torch is you can get in kind of all the nooks and crannies. You get very, very nice, even browning. You put it on high, and you work very quickly, and it's just, you know, you're going to smell that nice toast, like a toasted marshmallow. Of course, that's part of it, is the aroma. But you could actually brown it ahead of time and put it back in the freezer and wait for service. Now, of course, you want to remove it a little bit before you're going to serve it. You don't want it totally frozen. And to flambe, now, you're putting alcohol on cold food. So something that's 80 proof or so, like a brandy, you have to warm it up a little bit. Otherwise, it's not going to burn very long. And also, when you're pouring it on that cold surface there, you want it to stay on fire. Of course, dim the lights. The guaranteed one is 151 rum, because that's going to burn no matter what. And what I would do is in a glass cup, so people couldn't really see, dimming the lights, and I would light I'd pour a little bit, drizzle a little bit over the top of the Alaska. And, of course, you're going to set that on fire. But also in the cup, you could use a little glass coffee cup if you have something like that. I use tempered glass. Don't use a regular glass. The heat might break it. But a good tempered glass coffee cup would be nice, an Irish coffee cup or something. You don't need much booze either. The stuff's going to burn pretty well. But it would look like I was pouring fire out of my hand down onto the cake. And, of course, it's, happy birthday time, Merry Christmas, whatever. You've got a big candle. Don't try to blow it out, but it will burn out, and that'll kind of retoast the meringue on the outside so you get that aroma of something that just came out of the oven. So a flambé, baked Alaska. You can make this with your sponges, whether you buy them from the bakery or make your own, but something to think about. Can be very simple. Again, not as nice as the one that was in the Times, but certainly is going to get the job done. So one of our old favorites, Sicilian cassata, and this is one that made for years. Sometimes when you define cassata, it could be more of a layered ice cream things, and I've seen a lot of these done with, it's your pound cake or your sponge cake, we've made them either way, with ricotta filling, and the ricotta filling is similar to what you have in your cannolis, and some pastry chefs would put that filling in the cake and then around the outside also, maybe call it a cannoli cake. Sometimes I've requested that from bakeries, and that's usually what you get. This one has a chocolate glaze on the outside. We've used ganache before. This one's a little bit richer. You can handle it the same way. So for the frosting, you need 12 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate. Cut them into bits, just like if you're going to make a ganache. You need 3/4 of a cup of strong coffee. That'd be 6 ounces. And a 1/2 pound of unsalted butter cut into pieces. You want this butter to be cold. So you melt the chocolate slowly with the coffee till it's smooth. And then off the heat, I would put it in a bowl, and you're going to add the butter one piece at a time and stir it in. This way you don't want to boil it. You don't want to separate the butter, but the emulsion of the butter is going to stay in there, give you a really nice, rich chocolate glaze at this point. Now, to make it spreadable, of course, you've got to let it cool down a little bit, just like a ganache. At this point, you can just set this aside. If you're not baking your own cakes, if you're working with your cakes already done, I would make this filling, the frosting, and set it aside, or make your favorite ganache. What do we have? We have my old standby, 21 ounces of chocolate pieces, 2 cups of cream, and 1/4 cup of some kind of flavoring. You bring the cream to a simmer, pour it over the chocolate pieces, let it sit and melt for a little bit, stir it till it's smooth, add your flavoring, whether it's amaretto or orange flavoring, coffee liqueur, anything like that, and you have your ganache. So either way, you've got some kind of chocolate. That's really what does it for me on this one. So you have your 9 by 3 inch pound cake and 1 pound of ricotta, or you can use regular ricotta and sweeten it, or you could buy pastry ricotta that should already be sweetened. If you're using regular ricotta, you'd put a couple of tablespoons of heavy cream in there and 1/4 cup of sugar and blend this together so it's nice and sweet. You could alter the sugar if you want it a little bit sweeter. Then you'll need 3 tablespoons of some kind of orange liqueur or Strega, any of those. Triple Sec would work, or Curacao. Orange is good in there. If you don't happen to have that, a little bit of orange extract would work. It still has alcohol, but you don't need as much. 3 tablespoons of the chopped candied fruit, similar to what you would put in your fruit cake. And then you'll need another couple of ounces of semi-sweet chocolate. You could cut these into small pieces. You could use mini chips if you want. whatever you like. Just want to get that chocolate and fruit in there so it's similar to a cannoli filling. Now, we've got this cake, so we're going to cut it into three layers. Or, if you've got a pound cake's nice to work with because it's very firm. You don't have it crumbling apart too much. If you have your cake bars that you've made with a cake, you want to work with these frozen. And you fill, you got two layers with your ricotta cream in there, stacked. So you've got a three-layer cake, two layers of filling. And then you will have this chocolate frosting spreadable and coat the outside of the cake. And make sure you cover it well. And then with what, if there should be some frosting left, you could either use the flat side of your spreader and kind of pull it up into little peaks, or if you have a small pastry bag, you could pipe some decoration around there. But you have this chocolate. Now, this cake, of course, you've got to keep chilled because of the ricotta filling. And chilling it also will help keep the frosting nice and firm. But this is something you could put together ahead, or if you have your frosting ready and ready to spread, you could almost do it after dinner and just setting up dessert. It could be made fresh right away. So this is, again, this combination, one of our favorites. Another family favorite. We're going to come back after the news break here. And if you're an Italian restaurant or home, it might be called zuppa inglese. Otherwise, it would be called English trifle. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We were stuck on the plane for about 6 hours.
One of the thousands of air travelers inconvenienced by a massive power outage at Atlanta's airport yesterday caused by a major fire.
Every half an hour, the pilot would come out and tell us we couldn't taxi up to our gate.
Georgia power officials now investigating the cause of the fire that caused the massive outage at the nation's busiest airport, Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International. While the power's back on at that airport, residual delays could be felt in the U.S. air travel system through the rest of today, if not longer. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs wants to buy the Carolina Panthers of the NFL, which are being put up for sale by the team owner Jerry Richardson, now that he's facing sexual misconduct allegations. Combs says he wants to be the NFL's first African-American majority owner. This is USA Radio News.
The holidays are supposed to be a happy time, a special time to enjoy with friends and family. But unfortunately, it's also a time people drink too much before they drive. Last year, during December alone, 781 people died in drunk driving crashes. Young adults were especially hard hit. In fact, drivers aged 18 to 34 were involved in the most fatal drunk driving crashes. So, this season, do your part to keep the holidays happy. Plan ahead and don't drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free. 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Back at the table here. So the other English trifle, my mother-in-law normally makes one around this time of year. It's always a grand finale. We have you know, again, a platter of cookies maybe, but this is with, you could make it you know, as substantial or as light as you want. You could do something simple just with, I mean, there's fruit available. She would use mandarin oranges, which are always around. Of course, they're canned, nice and sweet. But maybe if you have clementines this time of year, orange is good in there, but some berries. And even if they're, you know, again, out of season, but you can, and they might be expensive, but some strawberries in there. You see some recipes call for, you know, say frozen fruit or jam, things like that. But I think nice to put some berries in there so you splurge a little bit, right? And it could be whipped cream just flavored with a little, it could be Southern Comfort, could be brandy. Again, orange, rum, whatever you like. Rum would be good. Sometimes cream sherry is used in these. But you basically have it's again, cake and some kind of custard or cream and fruit. And one place I worked, Giovanna's in Plainfield, it was open glaze. We would make these in big goblets, make individual servings of them. So you have your cake cubes. And best to make this a little bit ahead. You want the cake to kind of soak up the liquid. If you're making it and going to consume it right away, you may want to soak the cake layers with your cream sherry or your little bit of booze, shall we say, brandy or liqueur, whatever you're flavoring it with. But you want something, you know, something has some fruit flavor as far as your alcohol. So whipped cream is nice, a little bit lighter. We like to do a custard, which would be some pastry cream normally, lightened up with a little bit of whipped cream. Now, pastry cream, little process. You've got to temper your egg yolks with your hot liquid mixture and then bring it back not quite to a boil. Chill it down. Another option would be pudding, which would be, you know, kind of similar to pastry cream, except not as rich, but certainly have that nice vanilla and thickened flavor. Now, in a pinch, I guess they call this hacking now, where you kind of take a shortcut. But a good instant pudding, or even ready to serve, let's say you're really crunched for time. So you've got your, you know, this is something, again, you don't, it's more about a process of assembly than it is about a lot of baking. And if you're not really handy in the bake shop or you don't have time, you know, there's ways around this. We used to do simulate a nice custard with a pudding and thin it out with a little bit of orange juice. So it's more like a sauce. And, you know, you can add that little bit of nutmeg or cinnamon if you like. You know, this would be a good, we used to use it as a dessert sauce or as a sauce on brunch buffets. Nice little orange custard, right? So you have this custard and, again, lighten it with a little bit of whipped cream. And you've got layers with the cake and the custard and the fruit. And, again, a little bit of brandy or orange liqueur or Southern Comfort's peach liqueur or peach whiskey, anything like that. So cream sherry, again, if you want something with not as much alcohol in it. But you want that little bit of extra flavor in there. So you have your, you could make these individually, say, in goblets, which is always nice. Or we actually, she has a trifle dish, a big glass bowl, so you can kind of see all the things through it. Again, if you use strawberries, the mandarins are nice in a pinch, but yeah, because they're not really acidic. But you could use berries and some other fresh fruit. And kiwis would be okay, I guess, if you could find some. Shied away from, say, apples and pears. This should be, I guess bananas would work in there, right? Who wouldn't like that? But the berries are the big thing with the macerated berries and the cake and the custard. If you're making your own pastry cream, then you will have to do this ahead and chill it down. And then obviously you're going to want to lighten it up with fold a little bit of whipped cream in there. But other than that, the trifle or zupa anglaise made in a big bowl that, you know, you've got to keep it chilled. Of course, in the wintertime for most of us, that's not an issue. Just put it right outside. But it can be made ahead. Probably best made hours before and even the day before. And, you know, when you're whipping your cream, a little bit of powdered sugar in there, you want to stabilize it. But very nice accompaniment to any other desserts you're having. And the texture does seem light, even though there are quite a few calories in there. It's a nice finish to a big meal. Now the other, dessert again. So you've got, you've made pastry cream, or you like to make pastry cream, you're good at it. Another nice thing to do would be little cream puffs and make what you call a croquembouche, a nice little cone-shaped stack of them. What's better than that, right? So you have your pâte à choux, your cream puff paste. Again, if you have the skills for this or the wherewithal to do these, it's not a difficult recipe. It's more about technique, making sure that your mixture, when you have your flour and your butter shortening and your milk that you're cooking on the stove, you'll see it in the recipe, make sure that it's cooked enough to where the product, I like to use a wooden spoon. This is one of the things that's really done better with a wooden spoon. Make sure that mixture is homogeneous and it's leaving the sides of the pan. You've got to put it in a mixing bowl. Stand mixer is the easiest way to do this. Of course, you could use a hand mixer in a bowl, but you let this mixture cool off, not too much. You don't want it cold. You're going to add, when you add your eggs, they're going to be one at a time. You don't have to beat the eggs first. You put them in whole, and after each addition, make sure they get incorporated in there well. If for some reason your recipe calls for, you know, let's say 10 eggs and you're cutting it in half and you need 5 eggs, that's fine. But if you're doing something that takes 3 eggs and you're cutting it in half down to 1.5 eggs, then you have to kind of mix the egg together and then only use half of it. But that's a rare occasion. Oftentimes you can compensate for this. That's why bakers, of course, weigh things, because extra large or large eggs, there is a difference over a dozen. And that will affect how much egg you're putting into your cream puff paste. The other thing to be careful of when you're making cream puffs is the baking of them. You need that initial heat to puff them up. The leavening in there, of course, is the beaten egg. But then you want to make sure they're done enough inside. You know, if you're making a Yorkshire popover or something, you don't mind a little bit of soft inside, but really for cream puffs, you want to make sure that they're fully baked, otherwise they'll collapse on you also. They could. And make them, you're going to use a plain end of a pastry bag, so you want to make them, you know, 1.5 inches or so on your baking sheet. They're going to puff up. You want a good size cream puff. 400 degrees for 10, 15 minutes. When they're done, you still want to cut the oven down, let them dry out a little bit. So these cream puffs, now, to pile them up, we're not going to have chocolate. We're going to dip them. You make a honey syrup. And you need your candy thermometer for this. You want this to be at the, not really the hardball stage. You want it to be, you know, at least, well, when you test it, you want to be able to use the stuff as glue, but you don't want it to be running all over the place. So the softball stage is probably good. You don't need it. It could be, you know, closer to caramel if you like caramel, but then you're gonna have to work with it very quickly. So you have your filled cream puffs, and you have honey syrup, and you have to dip each one, either end of it, of these cream puffs in the syrup. You're gonna put them on a plate. I would oil the plate a little bit so they don't stick, right, with the caramel. Make a circle, fill in the circle with several of these cream puffs, and then you'll start to stack them up so it looks like a cone. And with any syrup that's left could be drizzled over these. And then for a finishing touch, if you like, little nonpareils, little sprinkles, if you will. The little colored sprinkles would be good. I've done these without filling them, cream puffs. We used to call it a honey beehive. There'd be smaller ones. Would look more like the struffoli that the Italian bakers make. But cream puffs, again, you've got your custard. If you have your cream puff shells, a little honey syrup, and stack them up, you've got your croquembouche. We've got a break for a couple of messages. Now, we thought of, we're doing the dinner, and of course it's year-end. You've got New Year's coming up, too. A nice lobster dish, or you could use other fish, I guess. We wanted something that we could put on the table, be easy to eat, not have all the shells and everything, but still using fresh lobster. So when we come back, we'll look at that just as a grand finale.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Table here. So, yeah, so we got our roast and our things for Christmas. Always try to do something interesting when people are coming by. There was a lot of good seafood casseroles out there. Many times we'll do something like you want a firm fish, say a halibut or a grouper, and bake it on a bed of some vegetables. Spinach is always nice because spinach goes well with your lemon. You could do olive oil and herbs, if you need the butter and the cream. Either way, the spinach goes well. And, of course, a bed of crispy potatoes doesn't hurt either for seafood. And we think of scalloped oysters. You could use the already shucked oysters. Very easy. Very simple. A little bit of cream. Now, some recipes will call for making a white sauce, bechamel, or even kind of like a Newberg sauce, a little sherry and paprika. lobster in there, especially if you have a little bit of lobster stock, of course, it would help that. But we wanted something even simpler, not too much cream. Of course, we love butter. I thought of, I was reminded of the old Legal Seafoods used to have. I don't know if they still have it in their dish. Years ago, they had a baked lobster casserole. I think they put a little Monterey Jack cheese on top. But it was basically, you know, the meat from a big lobster left in large chunks and a little bit of these buttery cracker crumbs that New England is famous for, and a little bit of Monterey Jack cheese, and just put in a casserole and baked, and you're just getting lobster and breadcrumbs, and it's like a lobster mac and cheese without the macaroni, right? Lobster mac's not a bad idea either if you want to do an elegant or interesting, you know, just ramp it up a little bit, a little nice side dish. And, of course, the way we make it at the restaurant, we use, of course, you have to have the cooked claw and knuckle meat because it's impossible to get those out of the shell unless they're cooked. But we start with raw lobster tail, Maine lobster, Canadian lobster, the North American lobster, let's put it that, let's be honest, right? Not the crayfish tails. So we will start with some raw lobster diced up, sauteed in the pan. And then we add a little white wine, a little seasoning, and add the chopped claw and knuckle meat. So you have both. You have the tail, which gives you that, the raw lobster still gives you that little bit of flavor when you're making the mac and cheese. And then, of course, your claw and knuckle have more of the color. The tail usually doesn't have that much red. So you want that nice red in there. So, of course, people understand there's lobster. But the claw and knuckle already cooked isn't an issue because it's soft anyway. It doesn't really get... The tail is what can get overcooked. So we add our heavy cream. Now we have pasta that's already been cooked ahead, which you always do for mac and cheese. We use the tiny shells rather than the elbows. I think the elbows, they sometimes can trap too much liquid. So, and if that liquid is water, of course, that's not good. The shells seem to be easier, and of course, it's kind of a little easier to eat, too. So we warm up the shells in this cream, and then we add our cheeses. Now, we use simple mixture of two cheeses. We use a good, we use Cabot's cheddar, a nice product of New England, right? The white cheddar. You want a decent cheddar. And then the other cheese we need is a good white or yellow American. And we buy the blocks. We don't buy the pre-sliced. Especially those singles. That's kind of like liquid cheese. We need something that's very difficult to find block unsliced American cheese anymore. You know, the pre-sliced, they can stretch out a little bit more. A good block cheese, we can grate this. You need the American because we're not making a white sauce. Most mac and cheese recipes, you're making a roux and you're making a cream sauce and just adding cheese to it. This is just heavy cream and cheese. So you need the emulsifiers that are in the American cheese, the processed cheese. You need that to kind of stabilize the sauce. Otherwise, if you make it with just good cheddar and cream, you might get some separation of the butter there as it bakes. So we have a good amount of cheese. You're making a cheese sauce. And then on the top, of course, we put more of the shredded cheese mixture and then brulee it, which means burn it. You know, well, brulee means burnt, but... Brown that up, and you get the crispy cheese is kind of the topping rather than the breadcrumbs. If you like breadcrumbs or cracker crumbs on top, by all means go for it. But we always figured if the what people like from casseroles is usually that little browned, crispy edges. And this way, in each casserole that we put out, whether it's a regular mac or a lobster mac, you get this brown cheese around the edge of the casserole that you can kind of just, you know, it's like Frico. It just kind of peel it off and you have that nice brown cheese flavor. Something every dish gets it. It's not like you're taking it out of a big pan and you may not get some of that. So So we thought we would do a lobster bake. And I'm going to do these, I make these Ritz cracker crumb topping kind of, I use just seasonings in it. I think Legal does chopped onions that are sautéed, but I like just using butter. And we use, you know, we actually buy Ritz, broken Ritz crackers that we can crush up. I crush them up right in the bag with a rolling pin. And I use a little garlic and onion powder, a little regular black pepper, a pinch of cayenne, and actually I'll put a little basil and parsley in too. You don't have to. You know, it's the little bit of basil helps it, and some parsley flakes. And so you, and enough butter just to blend all, just like, I guess, making a like a cheesecake crust, right? Just enough so it's not, they're not too soaked, but you want to flavor these cracker crumbs. Now, these you can keep in the fridge for a long time. It's just, I use clarified butter, so there's not even any milk solids in it. And if you don't have clarified, you just, you know, melt some butter and toss it in there. But these buttery crackers with more butter, you don't need to salt them. I think the crackers are salty enough. But this topping, we're going to take lobsters and we're going to par cook them. You could do this at home or buy cooked lobster from the fish store, the fish market. But cook your own, steam them. Just cook them enough so we can get the meat out of the shell. Don't have to be even cooked all the way. Just enough to loosen the meat up. And then we're going to leave the tails whole and slice them in the medallions. And then the claws will be whole. The knuckle, we'll try to keep things in as big a piece as we can. And simply layer it in a casserole dish and a little melted butter and these Ritz cracker crumbs. And I like, you know, the Canadian or the North American lobster does reheat okay, especially if you get the firm shells versus the hard shells. The firm shell meat seems to be a little bit softer, a little more watery, which is kind of good for this, so you can reheat it, but it will not, you're not looking to bake it a long time at this point. Everything's cooked in there. All you're really looking to do is warm it through and brown up the cracker crumbs, and it doesn't take too much to do that. But there you have something, you know, not the heavy cream sauce. It's just basically lobster and a little bit of this nice cracker mix, and you're done. You could do this with shrimp. You could do it with other seafood also, but we're going to do lobster. Well, I'm going to sign off. Talk to you live next year. Hope everybody has a good couple of weeks here. Enjoy yourselves and enjoy meals together.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We were stuck on a plane for about 6 hours.
One of the thousands of air travelers inconvenienced by a massive power outage at Atlanta's airport yesterday caused by a major fire.
Every half an hour, the pilot would come out and tell us we couldn't taxi up to our gate.
Georgia power officials now investigating the cause of the fire that caused the massive outage at the nation's busiest airport, Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International. While the power's back on at that airport, residual delays could be felt in the U.S. air travel system through the rest of today, if not longer. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs wants to buy the Carolina Panthers of the NFL, which are being put up for sale by the team owner Jerry Richardson, now that he's facing sexual misconduct allegations. Combs says he wants to be the NFL's first African-American majority owner. This is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the